Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I'm sitting here at my office at Gateway Ford, excited to be here on the eve. Well, I guess it's not the eve. It's almost the eve of July 4th. And I can't tell you how happy I am to have finally replaced my flag outside. Our flag has to endure a lot of wind. It's 20 feet by 30 feet is how big this flag is. That's probably bigger than the one you have flying in front of your house this weekend. But anyway, we can thank PALS, the PALS organization, specifically Tom Crosby, who is the CEO of PALS. All the PALS locations have a monstrous U.S. flag in front of them, and that's it's not for decoration either. They're very patriotic people. Pal Barger was a patriot, if there ever was one, and you know that was just an important part to celebrate this country and what it stands for, and well, what a lot of people think it stands for. And I'm so happy to be able to fly that big flag in front of my dealership again. But we had a very difficult time finding a flag, and I guess with all the other shortages that are going on in this country, there was a shortage of material, I guess, to make American flags. But we found one with the help of Tom Crosby, and I just sent him a text. And I said, "Tom, I'm sorry to bother you about a flag, but would you guys have any extra?" And he said he would hook me up with the guy in Greenville, and they would get me a flag. They had one coming on this past Wednesday. So I've got an American flag out front again. And I was really dreading going through this full weekend, especially over the 4th, without an American flag in front of my dealership. I remember when my dad and I built the Chevy store in Greenville. We started it in 1987, I think we completed, or late 87, finished it in 89 and moved in. And he was looking so forward to having this flagpole put up and an American flag that we could fly out front. And folks, by comparison, that flag was probably 4 feet by 6 feet. A very small pole, but I cherish the picture that I have the first time he raised the flag on that pole. He's standing underneath it and took a picture of him raising the flag. And just watching him look at it, you know how sometimes I reflect on those things now and I get kind of a lump in my throat thinking about those little things that meant so much to people. Dad was always proud of his military service. He was in the Navy and volunteered, went in when he was 17, right at the end of the war. He didn't know it was the end. He wanted to get in there and, you know, do what he could for America. They sent him to the training center, I think, up in Chicago, and then he got on a train and rode the train to San Francisco where they shipped out. Remembers going underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. Can you imagine that? Heading out and, you know, really not knowing if you're ever going to be back again. I mean, I think most of the mentality was that, yes, I will be back. But, you know, a lot of them didn't come back. But anyway, Dad cruised to Hawaii and then on to Guam. And while he was at sea, the Japanese surrendered. And he always said that the reason they did is because they heard he was coming. So I'd like to have a dollar for every time I've heard that story. But anyway, we need to celebrate this country and the opportunities that we all have and try not to get too caught up in all the vitriol that's going on right now. And I think that over time, this country will regain its footing. If we can just get rid of all the politicians, that would help. But anyway, let's just move on and we'll take our first break and we'll be back here in just a minute to talk cars. All right, so let me ask you something. If you had an issue, let's say that you bought a car, and then finally all the excitement is over, and a couple days later you start getting a little tinge of buyer's remorse, And you're thinking, what did I do? And then, just to make matters worse, you go get your paperwork out of your glove box that you stuck in there the day you bought it. And you pull it out, you start looking at it, and you say, I didn't realize that I bought that. Or, I didn't realize that I only got that much for my trade-in. You know, that's why it's so important to ask questions and to understand the transaction before you venture out. The typical car dealership is going to work really hard to make sure you understand all your paperwork. This is something that we are required to do both legally and ethically. You should know what you did and what you bought. And hopefully you feel good about it. And not 2 or 3 days later, you know, you say, whoops. A lot of that is just kind of jumping into a deal too quickly and not thinking about it. I always recommend folks go home and think about it. Matter of fact, I told a customer just the other day, I said, you know, you are obviously struggling with this decision, and I would prefer that you just take these numbers, and if you want to take the car that you're interested in buying, I'll let you borrow it overnight. Just make sure it fits in your driveway and all that. If you want to do that, you can. If not, just go home and think about it. And they looked at me like I was some kind of an alien. Really? They said, you'll let us do that? And I said, of course. Why wouldn't I? What about insurance? I said, don't worry about the insurance. My insurance will cover you. Well, what if we change our mind? Well, if you change your mind, you change your mind. I mean, you'll buy a car sometime in the future, won't you? Well, yeah. Well, then maybe if you change your mind, you decide not to buy this right now, you'll come back next time. And so that's what they did. And so I just think that's the way you need to do business with people, especially, I mean, even 30 years ago, 40 years ago, but especially today. But that is not expected, is it? I mean, you expect to be beat up upon if you don't buy something when you're there. But sometimes the sale goes just real smoothly. Everybody seems happy. And then a month later, you get a letter from a lawyer. I'm holding one of those right now from a lawyer. Well, it's a law firm. It's signed by a lawyer. And he's complaining. He's representing somebody that bought a car from us. Now, can you believe that I'm talking about this on my radio show? I'm talking about a legal letter that I get from a lawyer who's not happy. He's representing somebody that's not happy. But that's what we do on My Car Guru. You know, things happen to us as well. So what's the point here? There are two points that they're making in this threatening letter. Also, I didn't like some of the terms that he used. It was rather offensive. But anyway, I tried to remain nice. I did respond to this in an email. I called my attorney cousin. I said, is it okay if I just don't write a letter to this guy, you know, certify it and all that? Can I just send him an email response? He said, yeah, that's fine. He's supposed to know. He went to law school. But anyway, one of the complaints was this. And I'm quoting, the Kelley Blue Book value for the blank blank in fair to good condition, I said blank blank because I don't want you to know who it is, with this many miles, which is the mileage that my client's vehicle had on it at the time he traded, is somewhere in the range of $5,089 to $6,592. And as you can see, from the used car retail buyer's order that I have attached, that the gross trade-in value that you paid my client was only $1,000. And then he goes on to say, due to the high pressure and predatory disposition of your sales manager, my client was rushed into signing the trade-in documents without being fully explained the nature of what he was signing. So let's think about that for a minute. I mean, okay, so if a vehicle is worth $5,000 to $6,000 and we only pay somebody, well, the book value, let's say the book value is $5,000 to $6,000 and somebody only gets $1,000 for their trade-in. What do you think would be the cause of that? Okay, so it could be condition. It could have something to do with the shape the vehicle is in. Because the book value doesn't recognize that. The book value's basically is a vehicle with average condition. So the mileage can also impact that. Basically the color, you know, can impact that. There's a lot of different things. If it doesn't have enough options, if it's manual transmission, you know, that a lot of people don't want anymore because they can't drive manuals. But anyway, the problem with this vehicle is that it was wrecked. And I don't think the client of this attorney bothered to tell the lawyer that that this vehicle had the whole side caved in. That dramatically affects the value, folks. Also, the tires were worn out. It had a star in the windshield, so we had to replace the windshield. And it was nasty. I mean, there's no way to describe how dirty this car was. So we have a vehicle that book value, according to them, I don't know, I guess this was a retail value. And so typically we trade, you know, we're paying trade-in value, but right now cars are worth a lot more. But I'll tell you, the condition matters. And so, you know, here's a customer that, and the salespeople, I've done some extensive interviewing on this case because I don't like to get these kind of letters. I mean, and I respond to them, and my first reaction is not to become defensive. I think that's a mistake that car dealers make, or anybody that is facing some type of legal action. The first thing they do is panic. And there was a time in my life then that would have been the first thing that I would do as well. But I'm old now. I'm a geezer. But anyway, let's think about this. I can hear my daughters arguing out in the hallway. No, they're not arguing. They're just discussing something loudly. But anyway, here I am in my office trying to convince people that it should never get to this point. If this client had just come in and sat down and talked with me, we could have worked this out. But a lot of people just don't know. I mean, they just think that everybody is their enemy. And, you know, if you want to get something done, then you've got to take drastic action. I've seen the same thing for years. People come into a service department and they're not getting good service, or they have to come back for the second or third or fourth time. And I know that is very disruptive to somebody's life and not what somebody wants to do. And we understand that. But when somebody does come in and they're upset, it's incumbent upon us as a business to stay calm, to not throw out accusations. We always try to, let's go someplace and have a discussion. Let's not do this out here in front of everybody else, because that's typically not the best thing to do. If I wish I'd had the opportunity to speak to this gentleman, we wouldn't be where we are. I don't know if this is going to end up in court. Probably not, because I will do something even if it is, even if I shouldn't have to. Some people, you know, you just cannot, you can't reason with them. Now, I don't know if that's the case here, but, you know, this high pressure thing. See, I mean, one of the things I talk about all the time is you're going to get pressure. Some of it is self-imposed pressure. You know, you're out buying a car. You want it today, right? You're excited. You've waited for a long time. Maybe it took a lot of talking to get your spouse here, and finally they're on board. You know, it was that way when I bought my camper. Finally, she was on board. I wish I'd listened to her. I wouldn't own it right now and be trying to figure out how I'm going to get rid of it if I had listened to her. But anyway, you need to be able to discuss and make a good decision on the purchase of a car, and look at the numbers and take it at a slow pace, and don't let the heat of the moment cause you to do something without thinking. You know, a lot of people think that when they go in to buy a car, they've been in there all day, you know, and, oh, I don't want to be embarrassed. You know, those thoughts start going through their head. I mean, how do I tell these people I'm not going to buy this car? I've been here all day. I've taken all their time. I'm feeling guilty. Don't feel guilty. That is their job, and they understand that some people don't buy. When you feel the heat, if you feel pressure from somebody, you know, they've sent like three different waves of managers at you to try to get you to buy the car. that's way too much. And you just need to say, okay, we like you guys, this is great, but we're going to the house and we're going to think about it. And please don't talk anymore, or you'll just guarantee that I won't be back. Fair enough? I mean, that was nice, wasn't it? I mean, that's what I would do. If I felt like somebody was putting a squeeze on me, I wouldn't tolerate it, and you shouldn't either. And so this guy, obviously, I think he's just kind of whining to his attorney. I think he's got some buyer's remorse. And so they're talking about the Tennessee Consumer Protection Act and various common law principles and legal standards, which I totally agree with. I mean, I've got absolutely no problem with the Tennessee Consumer Protection Act, because I think it does exactly what it's supposed to do, protect consumers. You know, and at Gateway, if I ever feel that there is a situation where a customer is confused, frustrated, or angry, then we're going to get involved and we're going to solve it. Because what good does it do any car dealer to have somebody leave mad? Or to have somebody buy a car and then, like maybe on a Saturday, come back on a Monday and they're there first thing in the morning, first thing in the morning on Monday, and they're saying, we just made a terrible mistake. We can't do this. We can't afford it. It's too much. We thought about it. What should the dealer do? Well, you know what they should do. They should let them out of it. But there's not one dealership in 10 that will allow a customer to back out of a deal after they've bought the car. And there's no law that requires a dealer to do that. But every time that has happened to me, and I've had an opportunity to do that, I've let the customer out. And the number one reason is that about 70% of the time, they come back and buy anyway. But I would rather have somebody happy with the experience out there bragging about how nice Lenny Lawson is, you know, because he let us out of a deal and he didn't have to. I'd rather have that kind of publicity out there than somebody telling everybody they know on Facebook, you know, that this place is, you know, a bunch of crooks. So I think too many dealers don't think about that. They think about the immediacy of it. And I'm I don't want to come off as holier than thou, because to me, this is just common sense business practices 101, as learned from my father. You just don't put people, you don't squeeze them, and you don't put them in a bind like that, and you try to find a way to think about the long term. And that's tough. You know, when you have a salesperson that's worked all day with somebody and sells a car, and then they show up on Monday morning, they want out of it. Those salespeople, they're paid on commission, and, you know, they don't know what they're going to make at the beginning of a month. You know, here it is the very 1st of July, and there's not a single salesperson in East Tennessee knows what they're going to make for the month. Now, how would you like to have a job like that, you know, to where you are 100% commission-based? And just because they're 100% commission-based doesn't mean that they have to use illegal or unethical tactics to sell cars, because they don't, and most of them don't. There are some that do. And, you know, you've got experience dealing with people. You know it when you're being pressured, right? You know what it feels like. And too many people get embarrassed. You know, they say, well, you know, he's a nice guy and everything. I guess I better buy the car from him. Wrong decision. Just be nice and be nice back to him and say, listen, I'm just not ready. I just want to look at it. I want to test drive. I want to think about it. And, you know, give me the space to do that, and don't triple TO me to somebody else, and you'll be a whole lot better off. So just watch out for that stuff this month. Good luck finding a lot of product. There's not much out there. We'll talk about that right here in just a minute. Okay, we're back. Lenny Lawson, my car guru. And just letting you know that if you are shopping, you know this already, but if you listen to the show at all, you know that there is a scarcity of new product out there. What I'm seeing is that Honda dealers look like they have about a third of their normal inventory in this market. Domestic dealers, Ford, Chevrolet, Chrysler products, they have about probably 5 to 10% of what they would normally have in inventory. However, there are some dealers, I look at their inventories and I say, what are they going to do? I mean, these are dealerships that sell 300 cars a month, and they've got 17 new vehicles in stock. And so what that means for you as a consumer is you're going to go in and you're going to pay out the nose probably to get that vehicle. Now, hopefully you will get out the nose for your trade-in, and that will offset the difference. And with low rates and stuff, there's still going to be cars sold this month. I mean, we've got a little over 50 Nissans in stock. I would normally have 110, something like that. So Nissan is still good. Our trucks inventory is really good. Probably be better than just about anybody in East Tennessee right now, but I don't anticipate it lasting that long. So just know that when you go out there and you're driving around looking at cars and you're going down the motor mile in Johnson City or whatever, you're going to look left and right and see these empty car lots. It's not because these guys are going out of business. However, I do believe that there will be a lot of dealers go out of business because of this, especially ones that are really running thin anyway, and maybe business hasn't been good and they don't have a lot of capital, and they just it may force them out, because I really don't know how long this is going to last. I was looking at the process to make computer chips, and it doesn't look promising. It's like it takes like 18 days to make a chip. And so, no, that's not right. I read, that's right, I got confused with something else. It takes anywhere from 2 to 8 weeks to make a chip and to have it, you know, from beginning to the time it comes out of the factory. And plus, there's an 18-month lead time on orders. So that's one of the reasons why we're suffering right now. But don't you suffer too much. Definitely don't suffer this weekend at the hands of an unscrupulous car dealer. Call me, 552-2020. That's 423-552-2020. If you want to know what your car is worth, or you have a service problem, don't know how to handle it, or you're just concerned about life in general, give me a call, Lenny Lawson, and I will see you Monday morning.